What I'm going to show is how we can analyze transactions, do some replication, and do some time travel. Right? So the agenda for today, introduction, some requirements, some design, implementation, of course, open source, and maybe if we have time for questions. I wanted to do a demo, but it's impossible here. I don't have the Wi-Fi. Who I am? I'm Arno. I was born in Belgium, so I'm a local here. And I actually work in Chicago as a database team lead for Jump Trading. Jump Trading is a trading firm, and so we trade all kind of assets on all kind of horizons. And so we do research, so we have research facilities like HPC and also cutting-edge technology databases. So my talk is about a transactional database, talking to clickers as an example of an OLAP database. And what we're going to do today is we're going to it's agnostic, basically. You can do it with MySQL, Postgres, MariaDB. Those are well-known example of transactional databases. And we're going to do heterogeneous replication to a very different kind of database. Clickers is completely different. So we're going to try to do that. Two different paradigms today. So, what is Clickers? Any of you know what Clickers is here in the room? Oh yeah, a lot of people. So, we are at FOSDEM, so it's also open source. It's an open source database. It's different from the transactional ones, which are row-based, so it's columnar. And the fundamental data structure that is under Clickers is the merge tree data structure, the merge tree engine. And Clickers was created in Russia in 2009. It currently has 45,500 stars as of now. I verified today. If someone is in the room and 0.6, it's possible. But so that should be the. So it's extremely popular. And it's very good at doing real-time analytics. If you want to know more about it, you can just scan this QR code. I will leave you a few seconds to scan it. But it has over 2,000 contributors, and it's a very successful project. So that's why I chose it as an example for replication. And this is an example, a query that I ran today on some Clickers instances I run on our HPC environment. I'm not sure everybody sees, but it's a select const star with some date aggregation, and it's on a 100 terabyte data set. We managed to get 11.3 terabyte per second. Obviously, it's not reading that much data, but it's an illustration how fast the columnar database can go if they only read a subset of the data, just the D colon here. So it's pretty impressive. It has 20 nodes, and it runs on Apache Iceberg, so it's pretty cool stuff. So what is replication? Replication is synchronization between primaries and replica. Everybody knows what it is in this room. Usually, homogeneous replication is easier, and that's the mainstream. And heterogeneous replication is really challenging because, you know, you need to translate from one paradigm to the other, one database to the other. They may not understand the same data types, don't have the same time zone, and so it's really a challenge. And what we want to leverage here, and there was a talk before on logical replication, that's really key for this operation. And of course, it's going to be log-based, so we're going to read the binary log in MySQL, and we're going to read the wall, for example, in Postgres. And this is known as CDC, so change data capture. So you capture the changes of the database and basically you replicate it to another system. It can be Kafka, it can be anything. So why is replication so useful and so important? It's because it scales the scale out the reads, so you can have one primary and maybe 100 read replicas. With low latency, you can achieve very high read throughput. It's useful to migrate from one system to another. If you want to migrate from, say, MariaDB to MySQL, you can just use replication to do that and fail over and don't lose any data. It's good for continuous synchronization between systems, fault tolerance. If, for example, you have two regions, one is failing, you can fail over to the other region, and this is impossible without replication. And so it's a very important building block. For this project, what do we need? We really want to not lose any bit of data. We want to be low latency, and the 1 second is nice. We don't want duplicates, so exactly one delivery. We want something really simple, and we want to be able to do fault tolerance, so we want to be able to run that in several data centers, and of course, we had FOSDEM, fully open source, freedom of choice. So how did we design this? We wanted to keep it simple, stupid, so we just have one container and a YAML file, and we leverage things that are really working well. The binary logs, Ontler is a nice project. I saw that Postgres still uses Bison, which is like very old. Ontler is fantastic. Also, we use PG logical replication. That's it. And we didn't want to reinvent the wheel doing this because there are already projects that do that. And this project is Debezium. I saw some Debezium stickers, and I put one on my laptop. So Debezium is developed by Red Hat, and it's a very nice open source project too for change data capture. And why we picked that is because we got access to a lot of sources. For this design, we also wanted to have one-to-one table mapping. We wanted to leverage the primary key. Yeah, to replicate, it's better to have primary keys. We wanted to convert the data type without data loss. And I mentioned already the merge tree engine, but in this particular context, it turns out that the replacing merge tree engine was the best. Why? Because it turns all operations into inserts. So if you have an insert, it inserts. If you have an update, you can just increase the version, and the replacing merge tree will only show you the latest version for this for the primary key on when you're reading. You by default know, but you can use a variable called final, and you can have that by default in your profile. And so it does similar to Iceberg does on some stuff, merge on reads, and it does it very very quickly and over time. Those operations have been, the performance has improved dramatically in the latest version of Clickers. And also for the story, I was the one that introduced the final variable a few years back when we worked on this project. And one other thing that we wanted is that the same query should run and return the same result. Also, something that's not very common with CDC is we wanted to have full DDL support. So it means that if you create a table, it should work. If you rename a table, it should work. If you drop it, etc., which is not easy. So I can explain how we did that. And of course, it's challenging because the time zones, you may have a server that is in UTC, another server is in Chicago, and you don't want to lose, you don't want to corrupt the data types there, especially timestamps and dates. So to design this, we decided to replicate the state in the target, as it's done usually for MySQL or for Postgres. And we wanted to have an interface that would be super simple, like MySQL replication. So show replica status, show replica start and stop also as a command line. We would want it to retry on failure. Because if there's a failure, you know, you don't want to corrupt your data, so you retry until the error is fixed. We have replication filters, so we can choose a table, we can choose a database, we can choose several tables in the database. Very importantly too, we have a checksum in this project to verify that what we do doesn't lose data, because it's one of the goals. And also we developed efficient dumpers and loaders that can dump terabytes of data and restore terabytes of data in sometimes minutes. And so we did that using tools that already exist, like the MySQL shell. I think it's possible with pgdump as well. So in terms of architecture, what I'm going to present is the component in the middle. So I already told you transaction database on the left, MongoDB is one of them, MariaDB, etc. It works also with Oracle, it works with SQL Server, because DBZium, as long as DBZium understands it, it can turn it into events that you can apply and that the connector can apply it. And so keep it simple, stupid, a single binary, a single jar, because it's developed in Java, and it goes to Clickers. So the project is there. It's called the Altinity Sync Connector, because we developed it with Altinity, a provider of support for Clickers. And so, as I said, only one container. Docker Compose can run it. You can also run it as a service. It works with multiple threads, just like MySQL replication. Or yes, what we also wanted to have is something that was not fully transactional, because it's impossible. Clickers is super performant, but by default, it's not transactional. So what you want is that eventually, if you wait for replication to catch up, it gives you the same data. And also what we wanted is low latency, and we achieve less than second replication. So in terms of table structure, so you have the MySQL on the side, the MySQL as an example, it could be another database. And the way we translated is, of course, we need to translate the name, the data types. I already mentioned the replacing merge tree engine as the target, which here replaces InnoDB with a primary key. The system, because of Antler and the parsing, understands the partitions and can turn the partition list here into a partitioning clause. The uniqueness is achieved with the order number here, order by. So order by is the equivalent of the primary key, but there can be duplicates in Clickers. There are no duplicates if you run final, knowing that you have a version and knowing that you can delete data with the is deleted. So that's all we did, and that's all I think the competition is doing, and a similar project. There are not many different ways to do this, especially if you want high performance. You need to turn an OLTP workload into an insert workload, insert-only workload, and resolve the difference at query time, but also at merge time, because as the name indicates, it's a merge tree. So if you have two parts or two partitions or two parts, they can merge together and they can remove the duplicates for you. So if you finalize that using merges and you can trigger that, then you are guaranteed to have zero duplicate eventually. So the talk wouldn't be complete if I didn't mention what we did recently with the history, because you have all the changes coming through the transaction log, which is like the binary log or the WAL. And so we figured out that we could add a history mode, because if you replicate in a different schema, not like for like, in a history schema, you can have the full transaction log as a big fat table, and this is very useful for analytics. And you can also create one history table per table in a separate schema, and this gives you the possibility to know what the state of the table was yesterday or a week ago. And so, and you still have the current version, so it's still synchronized as the previous design. And this is called slow changing dimension number two, So I'm going to show you the transaction log here. So it's just a simple table with all the events, and you see the before image and the after image. It's also a replacing merge tree, because if we rewind, we don't want duplicates in there. And then we figured out for this particular database what would be the unique key. And so here's the server ID, the log file, the position, some sequence number, and we have the time because this is a time series. And yesterday I presented Grafana dashboards on that. You can run AI on top of this table, and so you can know a lot about your workload by analyzing, by turning something that is just transient in a regular system into something that you can persist and where you can run analysis on top of it. And of course, you can have a TTL. Clickers has a TTL, so after 30 days, you can discard it. Okay. So, or do we do time travel? We do time travel this way. Oh, well, this is another slide that shows that you can even compress the data. So if you want to compress using Z-standard, you can add a recompression clause. And the slides on time travel is just here. So for the history table, I already mentioned the version and this deleted for the RMT to get a zero duplicate on the primary key. But if you add just three columns, actually two, valid from and valid to, you can rebuild the state of the table over time. And so that's called the temporal table. Some databases have them, within the source database itself. Here we chose that it was smarter to put them, well, we had no choice, the applications were already there. But if you treat them as an analytics table that you can have in your analytic database, then you can reconstruct the state of the table. And so we have the same primary key, but we use the valid two in the primary key. And also we partition not by the partitioning order that is original, but we partition it by valid two. This way, valid two being the future, we always have the current version in the last partition. And then as the data updates, it trickles down the past partitions, which will have different date of valid two, and then you can run a TTL on that, which is very, very interesting. So you're not going to run out of space with those kind of history tables. And of course, this is fantastic, the Z-standard 8 after one day not only saves you space, but also removes all the intermediate versions that you may have and deletes the data. Okay. So, last slide about the development status of this. There's a QR code if you want to know more about the project. It has 300 stars. And so I'm glad that I can present it here. The one-to-one table mapping works, SGA. Development started 4 years ago, so it's bulletproof. We use it in production. The binary log table is just a new ID, and it's in beta state at the moment. History table, the same thing. And I wanted to mention that there are similar open source projects that appeared later. And PeerDB, for example, was launched last year for MySQL. So if it doesn't work for you, you have open source alternatives as well. So no demo. And if I have time for some questions, I think I have 2 minutes. Any questions in the audience? Yes? Oh, yeah. I mentioned that you can take a consistent snapshot in any database, like Postgres or MySQL, and then you restore that, and then you start replication from the position that's within that dump. So my dumper, MySQL shell output would give you that position, and you would have the LSN in the transaction number in Postgres, because it's very important building block. You need transactions. If you don't want to lose data, you need to know exactly where to start. So yeah, it's supported, of course. And for very big database. Yeah, another question?
You then overload the source database?
No, because you can use a replica to do that. Yeah, you can use a replica. So yeah, replication is super important. Yes. No other questions? Oh, you? Yeah? Sorry? I completely discard them because it's eventually consistent.